Blockbuster deal has been made. Micah Parsons has been dealt to the Packers. We welcome you to a special emergency episode of the Fumble Rooski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Adam Wright with CJ Medeiros. Yes, I am on a part-time basis still a co-host around here. I am the producer in the background, so I am present at all episodes. I'm just behind the scenes working out all the framework for the episodes, making sure they don't go too long, and also adding in some graphics and segmenting the show. And also figuring out what we're going to talk about. However, during a time when our main co-host, Chris Kostich, is not available, I'm stepping in order to help break the news. So Micah Parsons, the all-pro linebacker, has been sent from the Cowboys to the Packers in a blockbuster deal. So the official details have pretty much all been ironed out as far as compensation for trading the all-pro player. The Cowboys received defensive tackle Kenny Clark. He's a three-time Pro Bowler. And two first-round picks. On top of that, the Packers not only gave up all of these players, but they also threw the bag at Parsons. They gave him a four-year, $188 million deal. As far as guaranteed compensation, somewhere over the hundred millions. Most of that is guaranteed, which is
$136 million.
Yes,
going to be guaranteed out of the 188.
Yes, didn't have it right in front of me, but I mean, this is a massive deal. And the Packers gave up a lot to get this one guy. The Packers, their defense has been a little iffy the past few years. They've always, in recent years, they've always had good defenses. They've worked on it ever since the Aaron Rodgers days when it was all offense and no defense. They kind of reversed that. And then it got to a point where they didn't really have enough offense. They had to trade Davante Adams out. And if you remember, Aaron Rodgers ended up leaving largely because of that. And I think this really is an embodiment of that. Their defense has been falling off in recent years. And, you know, after really improving it, and now here we are, the Packers is traded for a superstar. And this is a guy who could really do everything. CJ, you and I were looking at some of what he's done off camera right before we started, but this guy's been a Pro Bowler for every single season he's been in. He was the defensive rookie of the year. He's been a finalist for the defensive player of the year. I mean, this guy has been doing it all. And 12 sacks in each of his four seasons in the league, 12 or more sacks, 23 or more quarterback hits, 12 or more tackles for loss, and he can play in coverage. This is a guy who can literally do everything. He is a Swiss Army knife, and he was a focal point of that Dallas Cowboys defense, which had been ferocious in recent years. Now, they had some issues with injuries this season. They were very inconsistent, and their run defense was very so-so. So it makes sense that they acquired Kenny Clark. He's a great run stuffer, and he's a three-time Pro Bowler. You get two first-round picks out of this deal, and I got to say, with as good of a track record that the Cowboys have, that Jerry Jones has as a GM, at drafting and developing players, they find superstar players like it's no one's business. They're very, very good at drafting, which is probably the only reason why they've remained somewhat competitive in the last 25 years since they haven't been to even an NFC championship. It's what's kept them afloat. What's really sank them is that Jerry Jones has cheaped out on coaching. He's cheaped out in free agency. And outside of a couple of trades, he really hasn't hit the market very much. This is really the only one that I can remember where the Cowboys have really traded away a star player as opposed to trading for one. I mean, they traded for Amari Cooper years back. They just traded for George Pickens. So they bring in players pretty often through trades. They don't do free agency. They just don't. It's Jerry Jones has too large of an ego to do it. But they're great at drafting. So that part makes kind of makes sense. What is a surprise is that usually Jerry Jones locks down his star players that are homegrown. It's great for his ego. He loves to nail those players down and just so that he can say, I saw that kid in college. I drafted him. I developed him. I have this potentially future Hall of Fame player on my roster for the rest of time. This is a little surprising here. They usually keep them. And I think that's why I'm completely shocked that this materialized into a trade. I thought it was a means of leverage. Micah Parsons requested this trade about on August 1st, I believe. It was through X, and he sent a very, very long message. So this really came from the heart for him. Obviously, he was angry. He didn't even paragraph, by the way. It was just a long blob that he put in the notes section. He didn't create it. No social media team. He just put out a massive blob of crap and just said, yeah, I'm out of here. So maybe we should have known from the start. But CJ, your thoughts?
It finally happened. Like something happened. I know the joke is like, oh, nothing ever happens. All these players, they demand trades, they never get traded. But you know what this means? This was never to gain leverage. You know, this was never a stunt. He wanted out. And for once, let's just all soak this in. For once, a player who demands a trade actually gets traded. Like, this is insane. Like, wow, what a time to be alive. But the thing for Jerry is, I just want to say first, let's look at the return. Two first-round picks, a defensive tackle, Kenny Clark. Kenny Clark is 29. He's in the back half of his career, whereas Parsons is in the middle. And sure, the Cowboys had like run defense problems, but cool. Maybe your rush is going to be a little better, or your rush defense is going to get better. Okay, but now let's talk about pass rush. Micah Parsons was the only credible pass rushing threat they had, and now he's gone, and the other one, DeMarcus Lawrence, already left. So unless you think someone like Marshawn Neyland is going to break out, I wouldn't expect anyone to get double-digit sacks, which, you know, Neyland very well could. He's very underrated at college. But still, this feels weird because, you know, Jerry does, you know, he can draft, right? He can always replace his stars, or I don't know if it's him anymore, because I've heard that his son, you know, has had a hand in drafting probably since 2014. Hell, his son's the reason the Cowboys didn't even take Johnny Manziel and instead took Zach Martin. You know, great decision. But it's just, this might be a sign that Jerry Jones's ability to keep his guys in and negotiate has finally withered and died. Because last episode, I went through, you know, the Jerry Jones style of negotiating, where he plays good cop, bad cop. He'll act coy with the media. He'll schmooze his players. Like, hey, come into my office. Have some drinks. Let's just chop it up. Then, you know, then he'll just turn around and start trash talking to the media and say, oh, well, he's always hurt. I'm not gonna. And, you know, and we always like to point and laugh about how he always gets his man, but usually 10 million more a year than what he should be getting because he waits that long. But no, even still, even though he always ended up hurting himself, even though he always ended up giving out more than he should have in terms of contracts with his really, let's face it, whack-ass style of negotiating, he always got his man. But now
it didn't work. The cracks in the armor are showing. Jerry Jones is not this infallible deal maker that he thinks he is. Parsons left, and he's not going to be easy to replace. And yeah, now the Cowboys do have two first-round picks this year and next year, but what are you going to do? Like, you're not going to be bad enough to necessarily tank. And even if you do turn those picks into home runs, you know, and you start drafting well, you really think you're going to go anywhere with head coach Brian Schottenheimer? This is essentially rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic.
Yeah, I mean, so what it appears there's just a report like 5 minutes ago from Tom Pelissero that him and Ian Rappaport have actually reported that the Cowboys have had trade discussions talking about Micah Parsons going all the way back to last year. And that's going to segue into my next piece of information, which is that apparently, according to reports that came out today, this trade, the terms have been agreed upon by the Packers for the last 2 days. This deal was already agreed upon 2 days ago. And we talk about how you mentioned how, and I have as well, mentioned how the Cowboys are one of the better drafting teams in all of football. They basically rely on it. They got two first round. What's that?
I said, not basically, they do. They don't ever use free agency. Yes. They have to draft.
Right. I wonder if they're punting on this season. I wonder if they're kind of starting a semi-rebuild, taking a couple steps back so that in 2026 they target some players in the draft and they go out there and they grab some players and they retool for the future. That's what I'm wondering. Because talking about right now, for right now, this makes no sense for the Cowboys. It really makes zero sense. If you're talking about winning right now, they just traded for George Pickens. They still have CeeDee Lamb on the team. Their defense is loaded to the gills. On top of that, just 5 minutes ago, you re-signed your star quarterback. So why are you taking a step back here? What happened? Because if it's been a full year of you talking about potentially trading away your star pass rusher in the middle of his prime, by the way, that tells me that you have a lack of confidence in the team that you have, in the roster that you're building, and that you feel you need to take a few steps back and not start over, but kind of retool a little bit. They still have CeeDee Lamb. They still have Dak Prescott. Notice how in the first round of this draft, we expected them to take a pass catcher, or rather a running back. They didn't do that. And throughout the Cowboys' existence, they've always been a team that does best when they have that star back. They don't have that right now, and they didn't take one in a running back-heavy draft. Isn't that weird? I just wonder if they're punting into next year and potentially beyond.
It's the only, literally the only thing it could be. Like, I'm sorry. I know they traded for Lamb. I know that their defensive backfield is at least good. Front seven's kind of iffy, but whatever. But, yeah, no, you're punting. Like, you're not going to win with Brian Schottenheimer. This is just everything's fine year, but they're not going to compete. They're just, even if they are looking to the future, which then again, it's Jerry Jones. That's not something that he does. He's very much a future be damned type. So yeah, I stand by my rearranging deck chairs in the Titanic analogy because respectfully, they could be. It's the only logical explanation, but there's nothing logical about how Jerry Jones works. The Cowboys are just a very directionless team. They're not good enough to compete for a Super Bowl. I know every person in Texas, well, anywhere outside of Houston, that is like, this is actually our year. No, it's not. And it's, if it wasn't before, now it's really not. You're going to get no pressure on the quarterback. Your defense was already injury prone and suspect. I mean, yeah, Parsons missed some time. Deron Bland missed some time. That one linebacker, I think DeMarvion Overshawn missed some time. So let's just pump the brakes here, Mr. This is our year. You don't have a future because, look, even if you are going to say, oh, this might be a retooling season, what, you think you're going to win with Dak? You're not. Hell, can I be honest? I would not rule out a complete tank. I really wouldn't. You know, Jerry Boy would love
to. Now we're going a bit far.
No.
We are. No, they still have CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott under contract. I may not love Dak Prescott. What's that?
I said, yeah, sure, they do, but
yeah.
I don't know. Jerry Jones is not a man of conviction or focus. Maybe conviction, but not focus. He's just another idiot owner who gets dazzled by the sparkly thing in front of him. And hell, if Dallas really sucks, like if somehow they fall, I wouldn't rule him out taking Arch Manning. I mean, at least just for the media drama alone. And you know he'd do it too. My point is, I still think it's on the table because Dallas is just this much of a, you know, a cluster, we'll say. And I literally don't know. Now, from the Packers standpoint, yeah, good. I mean, that's fair. You know, you didn't give up too much. I mean, yeah, two first round picks, that sucks. But hey, and Kenny Clark. I mean, hell, usually these guys go for two firsts, like a player, more late round picks, maybe a second player. But honestly, CJ, for Green Bay,
it's not there's no way it can be a full tank when they just signed their star players 5 minutes ago, the other star players. And on top of that, you just traded for George Pickens.
Okay, cool. Like, it's literally Jerry Jones, man. And by the way, let me just say, he's not exactly fond of Dak. With all due respect to your point, I don't care. I do not care that he just re-signed him. Have you seen him bitching to the media about, oh, yeah, well, we just made him the highest paid quarterback and he can't stay healthy. He only played six games for us. That's literally like things that he said. He literally complains to the media about Dak being unable to stay healthy and you think everything's fine? No, I'm sorry.
I just said it's not a full. He gave him the contract. If he really did not have faith in him, just because he had an unhealthy season, that does not mean that they're going on a full-on tank. It doesn't correlate, especially with everything else that they've been doing.
Okay, then why is he literally complaining to the media about his quarterback?
Like, he's criticizing the player for not doing a thing that he wants him to do. That's a good thing. You know who else criticized their player a lot? Bill Belichick to Tom Brady. You know who else did that?
Okay, false equivalence.
Bruce Arians to Tom Brady as well.
Okay, cool. False equivalence.
It's not a false equivalence.
Yes, it literally is.
No, it is not.
Explain how.
Because players get criticized by their coaches. It just happens. It doesn't mean they don't like them.
After he's extended? Like, my point is, and this isn't even a one-off, too. Like, you do realize that Dak has been, I mean, Jerry has been complaining about Dak for years. Literally since he got his first contract, he's been complaining about him. He's like, oh, he doesn't do this. He doesn't stay healthy. He doesn't do that. It's like, my point is, like, it's not off the table, maybe in like another year or two, but not right now. But my point is, Jerry's still unhappy, and I put nothing past him because, you see, the problem is you're thinking about it logically. Think about it like Jerry. What does Jerry like? Jerry likes attention above all else. He wants to stay in the spotlight. Okay. He's another one where he's such an egomaniac where any bit of attention is good. And with all due respect, you're saying, oh, if you think about it logically, no. Logic and Dallas literally do not mix. You have to start thinking outside of the box. And I'm just saying, like, I'm not saying it's likely. I'm just saying
Dallas is
such a cluster. Like, it could happen. And with all, and here's the thing. You're like, oh, yeah, well, Bill Belichick did it too. It's not comparable. It's just not. The comparison is made totally in bad faith. And above all else, yes, it is. It's like, oh, well, Bill Belichick did. Okay, well, Bill Belichick had Tom Brady. And in doing so, by saying, oh, yeah, well, Dak, I mean, Jerry Jones complaining about Dak is comparable to Bill Belichick grinding about Brady. Really? Is it?
Because of quality of play.
Brady are not the same.
Why would he give him a contract extension if he didn't have faith in him? That's not what they...
There's literally no other options.
Yes, you can. You can just move on from him and get a new quarterback. Teams do it all the time.
Jerry literally does not want to have that bad of a record, man. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I understand your point. I do. The point is, like, Dak's literally just not going to get it done. And it'd be one thing if it was a one-off, but it's not.
All right. Listen, I think we're getting a little too far off topic talking about Dak. This is a Micah Parsons emergency episode. And just going over some of the details as far as this deal goes, let's look at the Packers side of things. So as I mentioned, the Packers, they've worked on their defense in recent years. They have worked on it a little bit. Going all the way back to the late Aaron Rodgers years, they've been going heavy drafting and on the defensive side of the ball. And for the most part, it's worked. And they did just release Jaire Alexander 5 minutes ago, which is not great for them. He couldn't stay healthy, though.
Yeah.
This does match what they are trying to do, which is to fortify their defense and surround their quarterback, not with weapons necessarily, but to have the quarterback who's able to do more with less and let the defense do a lot of the work. And that is a formula that's worked fairly well that other teams have executed in years past. It's just, I mean, you have some issues on that offensive line that you're trying to figure out. You also want to evaluate why Jordan Love keeps getting hurt all the time, because it's really hurting the quality of their seasons. Feels like they should have won more games last year, and they couldn't because their quarterback couldn't stay healthy.
Also, Love hurt now? Like, he's got something torn in his hand or something?
They said he's going to be ready for week one. It's a non-throwing hand. But I have enough faith in Jordan Love so that he's at least a competent starting quarterback. I think we all know at this point that he's a good quarterback. He's good.
Yeah.
How good? That's the big question that needs to be answered at this point. He's only played one full season. Last year he was hurt all year. I think this year is going to be big in terms of him proving himself, not just being a good quarterback. He's already showed that. But how good? How good? Can he be great? Can he be as good as the other Packer quarterbacks before him? That remains to be seen. It seems like he's not anywhere near Aaron Rodgers' ability to not throw interceptions. There's no one better at doing that than Aaron Rodgers is. He seems to be very Brett Favre-like in terms of volume scoring, for a lack of a better term. The kind of a guy who... Yeah, he's going to throw a lot of touchdowns. He's going to throw for a lot of yards, but the interception is going to get racked up, which a lot of quarterbacks are like that this day and age. This defensive move for them, Micah Parsons, it was the centerpiece to those Cowboys defenses and a big part of why they were, in some years, elite. I think he could really, with everything that he could do, he could put them over the top. I'm just a little worried about their secondary.
Yeah, the secondary without Alexander. Well, the sarcastic part of me wants to say, well, what's the difference? He only played 8 games a year anyway. But so it's not like they haven't prepared for this. But still, yeah, it is concerning because at least you still had him for a bit. Now you don't have him at all. But hey, they do have Xavier McKinney. And that's pretty much it. Their secondary is going to be weird, but man, Rashawn Gary and Micah Parsons, that's going to be scary. But as far as Jordan Love goes, I feel like the Packers once again are going to be probably more defensive oriented, at least now more than ever, because like you mentioned, Jordan Love, while good, is not Aaron Rodgers. And while Aaron Rodgers was, a really good quarterback, a lot of people don't realize that what you said is that it wasn't that, he was this big gunslinger who could make a few lucky Hail Marys. It was that he was good at not turning the ball over in the regular season, that is. But still, Jordan Love, nah, Now he, like you said, he does not have that ability. And I'm tired of hearing this excuse, like, oh, well, he's a gunslinger. Like, with all due respect, that argument, I mean, not, I'm not saying you do it, but that's just what I hear. It's like, oh, no, it doesn't matter. He's a gunslinger. Like, yeah, no. Doesn't matter. You throw a lot of picks. He's a gunslinger. That holds very little water for me. And outside of Toyota-thon, Jordan Love really doesn't do a whole lot. I mean, I had to make a Toyota-thon joke, but still, I like this because Jordan Love wasn't going to get it done by himself. And now that Aaron Rodgers isn't demanding to be the highest paid quarterback anymore, you do have a tiny bit more financial flexibility to get someone like Parsons, but you better make this count because right now the Lions have surpassed you in your own division. The Vikings, who knows what they're going to be, and the Bears finally broke your winning streak after they beat you last year. You are falling behind in the division that you ran for low these many years, and you have to do something, anything, to pick up the pace, and you got it. Micah Parsons is an absolute game wrecker, and now with him that big of a piece, you should squarely be in contention for the NFC North. I mean, are the Lions still the favorites? Yeah, but you've closed the gap. But will they win? I don't know. Probably not. Not unless, you know, Jordan Love can channel his inner Rodgers, I guess, and throw less picks. But Micah Parsons at least makes you at least a very legitimate wild card team.
You make a fair point about their division because you mentioned the you mentioned the Lions. I think you're missing the other two teams in this division. One of the others being the Vikings that, they won 14 games last year, but now they switched Sam Darnold for their first round pick, JJ McCarthy, who's now been getting FaceTime with NFL coaching for the past year now. And now he gets to start. Yes, he was injured. So we'll see if that had any effect on his ability to develop with a year in the league. But that Vikings team, if JJ McCarthy can actually play, then that's a lethal team. And I mean, same thing with the Bears. I mean, even if, let's say Caleb Williams is even just barely above average or just solid, that's another team. So I wonder, with this trade being made, maybe the Packers were thinking in the back of their heads, with what we have right now, it's just not enough to compete with everybody else. Many other divisions, excuse me, in football, they would be in the conversation to win the division. Problem is, I just don't know if the Packers actually believe that right now, which is why they probably made this deal in order to help them get closer. They're going to be a competitive team, but until they make that one move that puts them over the top, they're going to continue to be that 9-8, 10-7 team that, you know, treads water. They'll make the playoffs, but they're always going to be the little brother to everyone else in that division.
Yeah, no, you got a point. It's just, I don't know. I mean, Micah Parsons does give Green Bay a legitimate shot, but make no mistake, as good as the defense could be, it's literally all going to have to be on Jordan Love. I mean, Adam, we've gone back and forth over this forever, and you've said many times, I do agree with you, quarterback is the most valuable position. I mean, Parsons can only take him so far.
Yeah, but I do believe in Jordan Love in the sense that he can win them some divisions. I think he can do that. He needs to stay healthy. I think that's his. I don't think it's the turnovers that are the issue for me. It's definitely the health. When he's healthy, he helps them win games. When he's not, it's just forget about it. And we'll see how bad of a turnover issue he has throughout his career. It's there, but like I said, there are a lot of quarterbacks who have turnover problems who are among the best in the game. Most notably, Josh Allen. He didn't have that issue this year, but I think everyone's forgetting he was running a lot this year. Joe Burrow has that issue, routinely throwing for 12 or more picks a year. Again, another guy who didn't do that this year. I think he threw for 8 or 9, but still, he usually does. Patrick Mahomes, ever since he lost most of his weapons, or they've aged, Travis Kelce, He's gone up there in interceptions. So I guess, I don't know. I don't think a lot of quarterbacks throw interceptions. What matters for me is do you throw too many interceptions? Do you throw for enough touchdowns and yards for it to be worth it? Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Tom Brady late in his career, Patrick Mahomes, they all do those things. So it works. Will it work for Jordan Love? That's the biggest question for them. But it's clear that the Packers have enough faith in him so that they're building up the defense on that team rather than building up the team around the offense around Jordan Love. So they feel something for him. For me, it's a health thing. The biggest thing, then we'll figure out this turnover problem. Is it too big? Is it too big of a turnover issue for him to the point where it hinders their ability to win? I haven't really seen that yet. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm not saying that there isn't a turnover problem. I'm just saying a lot of quarterbacks do. And a lot of the quarterbacks that I can name are among the best in football. And perhaps even among the best of all time. So clearly you can turn the ball over a few times in the NFL and still be an elite quarterback in this league. So,
I mean, yeah, you're right. It's just, it's still going to have to all entirely be on Jordan Love. And if you can win games, then great. But I don't know, man. Forget turnovers. Once again, he's just got to be healthy.
Sure.
Because that's arguably an even bigger problem.
Yeah. I think health is the biggest issue for him right now. Right now, the best ability is availability. I think it's more important that he's not on the field than being on the field and throwing for 4 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. I'm pretty sure that's an actual stat line that he had earlier this past season. I believe that was in a game against the Vikings, right?
Earlier yeah, it was. I remember because I had him in fantasy.
Right. And I'm pretty sure they almost – did they win that game? Did they almost win? I
don't think they did, no.
But it was a close game.
Yeah, it was.
They could have had. So that's something that, you know, I don't think it hinders their ability to win as much as people say. So, all right. We do need to end the show since we're already past 30. But I feel we've covered everything. What do you think? Any other aspects of this trade that we haven't covered? I feel like we've gotten pretty much everything, but what do you think?
That's pretty much it. I mean, I was going to say something about the NFC East, but let's be real. Dallas wasn't going to win anyway, so it really actually does not matter.
I thought they had a chance to be competitive.
Not anymore.
Well, yeah, had. Past tense. Had. But I don't know if the Eagles are winning this division. That's a conversation for another time. But I do think the Commanders, this is their year. There's a weird trend that no team in the last 20 years has won the NFC East twice in a row. And the Eagles have lost some pieces on their defense and also their offensive line. It's not that I don't have faith in them replacing those pieces.
Mm-hmm.
But is it too far-fetched to say maybe they're just 10-7 this year? Maybe they fall off just a little bit. Maybe they win 11 games. Or instead of like 13 games, they win 12, and they're second in their division to the 13 or 14-win Commanders.
10 seems a bit much, but 11-12 is very possible.
Yeah. They're still going to be a good team. It's just – I'm just looking at the trend. I'm looking at the trend. They lost a couple players this year. They relied heavily on Saquon Barkley, the running back. If he gets hurt, which I would not rule it out in the slightest, it's a massive problem. It's hard to rely on high-volume running backs for multiple years in a row. It almost never works out. So just pay attention to that. But the Eagles will be good this year. I just think the Commanders might be a little better. All right. That'll be it. Be sure to tune into us on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and so much more. I'll give you kind of our rundown for the next week or so, because it is getting hectic. So looking at our calendar, I'll bring that up. So this week, again, this is the last week of one episode, even though this thing just popped up. We have a special episode on Monday that I would like to pre-sell. We have hosted for an interview multiple time Pro Bowler Blaine Bishop, the Tennessee Titans, also a participant in the Super Bowl 34. You know, the one where the Rams barely held the Tennessee Titans and Steve McNair at the goal line at the last second as time expired. Pro Bowler Blaine Bishop we had to interview. We'll have that up at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Monday. That'll be Monday on September 1st, Labor Day, that is. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to move our Tuesday episode up to Wednesday. Why? Because we're going to be previewing opening night. On top of that, we have our Friday episodes coming back where we give our game picks for the very first of the season in 2025 Friday episode of Sunday slate of games. So we have a packed, we're packed with episodes. So in 2 weeks, we have five episodes essentially that have come out. We had one on Tuesday. We have one today. As an emergency episode, we have our interview with Blaine Bishop going up on Monday. We have our opening night preview, and then we have our Friday episode returning. So packed episode, packed week of episodes, and it's going to be very fun. NFL season is right around the corner. It's about to start, guys.
Can't wait.
All right. That'll do it for us tonight. Thank you for tuning in, and be sure to tune in next week for our first week of football. Over and out.